The walk was a little painful. It was hot.
Yeah, it was. It rained. It was. I've never seen it be sunny.
So here we are today, Yisroel Chag Shavuos, Tov Shin Samach Hei. And we're holding in the middle of the sugya on Mem Gimel, which is today's daf. And basically we have an important issue to determine, which is, as usual, the Mishnah has left open the question as to what lies behind the halacha of not being allowed to put a kli underneath a lamp in order to catch the oil that's dripping down. So we had two possibilities. We had Rav Chisda's possibility. Rav Chisda's possibility was that the meaning of the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to be metaltel a kli for the purpose of saving something which itself is eino nita. Unless were matter cases where it's something that you would imagine happens often enough, so it's mitsuya. If it's mitsuya, they were matter. And he uses that distinction between hatsala mitsuya and hatsala sheina mitsuya to explain the differences between the various cases where it seems to be exactly the same, and yet in some places we're matir, and in other places we're not matir. So over here in our Mishnah, for instance, we're not matir for some reason. And yet in the case where it comes to the shaila of putting a cup over a newly laid egg, which is being matir, it's a metaltel for something that's you're not allowed to use on Shabbat, because it's eino min hamuf, and over there we are matir. And yet, strangely enough, the same egg, to put the thing under the egg, for it to lay an egg in the cup, was not mutter. So he has a very simple explanation. Look at what is the thing you normally have to worry about. You don't normally have to worry about, and that becomes now to him the definitive case, because there's one case where we're mutter one thing and not mutter the other thing. And therefore, that becomes the key to understanding the whole sugya. A chicken will lay an egg in a place where people may step on it, because the chicken is not aware of the difference between one location and another. But a chicken is programmed not to lay an egg in a place where the egg is going to roll away, just like other animals are careful, even, or a human infant won't fall off of an area where there's a perception that you can fall. And so because of that, one is something that is going to happen, and therefore, the Chachamim were matir, and the other is a case that's unusual, and therefore the Chachamim were not matir. And with this, we can answer all of the different cases. A case where a barrel breaks on the roof that contains tefillah, which is the mukta. If it's a new barrel, which is liable to break, so then it's mutar. If it's an old barrel, it's asur, and so on and so forth through all of the cases, all the way through being allowed to put a stick from your bed underneath a broken roof beam. Question whether it's a new roof beam, hasn't been tested yet, can easily break. Over there we were matir. And so Rav Chisda simply uses this, that single case where you have both issues, and one that seems to be exactly the same, to be metaltel to put it on top, or to be metaltel to put it on the bottom, and he uses that as the key. And therefore our Mishnah, according to him, is explained very simply. You can't move something for something that shouldn't have needed being moved. Why shouldn't it needed being moved? Does an oil drip from a lamp? Explains Tosis, because the norm is to light a lamp on top of a cleat to catch oil. And therefore, why would it be a normal thing for in the middle of Shabbos to suddenly realize a lamp is dripping and to put a plate there? So therefore, they weren't matir in that particular case. Rabbi Yosef, on the other hand, this was the last thing that we learned last night. Rabbi Yosef, on the other hand, hard to believe it was last night, since it seems to be about 3 or 4 years ago, but it was last night.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, was it last night? Oh, you're right. So Rabbi Yosef has an explanation which is very fundamentally different. And he says, now, wait a second. There's a tremendous difference between putting an egg, putting a kli in a place where an egg will be laid on it, and putting a kli on top of an egg. The difference is simply this. If you put the kli underneath where the egg will be laid, you're not going to be able to move the kli on Shabbos. That's called being mavatal kli me'echanot. Mashenkin, if you put the kli on top of the egg, what's to prevent you from removing the kli? From which I conclude, Tainus Rabbi Yosef, that the explanation of the Mishnah is also a problem of having oil drip into a plate, which then will not be able to be moved over Shabbos. And if that's the case, you're being mavatal kli me'echanot, and that's the key. Not the difference between Mitsuya and Eina Mitsuya, that seems to me to be very loose. And you have a simple explanation with two very different approaches. What is the basis of such an idea that you're not allowed to be mavato kli mehechanos? So we have three possibilities in the explanation. One of one was the way Rashi learns over here, that in being mavato kli mehechanos, it is similar to being bone. Because it's as if you took the kli and you glued it down, or you hammered it in to a particular, it seems to be a little bit of a stretch, but it's virtual binyan. Because now, for all intents and purposes, you will not be able to move this kli. Tosfos brings here that, it's interesting that Rashi himself says exactly the opposite later on in the Masechta, where he says that being mavata kli me'echano is similar to stira. Because you had something usable, and now you won't be able to move it. It's simply broken. It's no longer usable. Other Rishonim learn has nothing to do with anything. There's no such thing as a virtual malacha. The idea over here is that Chazal wanted you to have your kelim available for use on Shabbos, and therefore to take a kli and to use it in a way which cancels its existence effectively as a kli on Shabbos runs against the heterim of muktzah, which is a fascinating idea. In other words, it's the same way that we have an isser muktzah, we also have an anti-muktzah. The anti-muktzah being, we don't want things to become muktzah if they can be used on Shabbos. Fascinating new idea.
It becomes an aspect of muktzah.
Yeah. Don't move something in such a way that will make something muktzah. Because muktzah is a careful balance between things that we want you to be able to use, and we want you to be careful about not being over on whatever it is. Tiltal, according to Rambam, is the main issue, is Otsa. So fine.
Isn't there nothing in there of like a dish or something where we definitely come to use it on Shabbos to not make that muktzah, whereas like some kind
okay,
of
those
like
type,
super 500-pound drill?
Those type of, you're entering a whole different issue, which is that it's muktzah machmas kisar and kiss, there it's got soy biyadayim, that's a whole different thing. Don't talk about that case, we haven't gotten to it yet. So we have two very different approaches to the Mishnah. It's possible, of course, that there could be those who hold both of these things. There's nothing wrong with holding that there's two separate isurim. You're not allowed to be metalto something to be mavato kli mehechano, and you're not allowed to move something which would be a metalto for the purpose of something that is itself not allowed to be metultal. And we may indeed find cases where both things are supported, as we will see. So we're up to Rabbi Yosef Omer on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Heine time of the Rafista, this is the last thing we learned, a quarter of the way down. Mishum de Kamevato Tle Mehechanot. Now, Abai asks on Rabbi Yosef, if that's the problem. Let's go through all of the cases that we spoke about yesterday. We talked about in terms of Rafista's approach, where it seems to be that we're being matir for a hatsalah that is not mitsuya, and each one of the cases we have to explain that it is mitsuya, it was a new barrel, it was a new coat, whatever the case would be. Of course, to Rafista now, to Rabbi Yosef, now this represents a whole different, issue. So, Esvei Abaye, the idea over here is that the Chavishal Tevel, I can explain that, where it says, maybe Kliacher Miniach Tachteha, according to you, you were only being Matir. You said the problem is you can't be Mavato Kli Me'echano, you can only move things for Hatzalah purposes. You're not talking about moving things only for Hatzalah purposes. Well, how do you explain the fact that the Kli that's underneath the barrel is now not going to be able to be moved? Omale, because you're making a mistake. You assume that Tevel is by definition being Mevato Kli Me'echano. It's not so. Tevel actually is Muchanu Etzel Shabbat. She'im avar v'tikno mitukan. Look, the bottom line is that if somebody will come now and be matir this tevel HaShabbos, so good. The Chachomim said not to do so. But if it were done, there's something that is absolutely elemental to tevel that it's mukter. No. When we say you can't be mavato klimeichano, it means to be mavato klimeichano for something which under no circumstances is usable on Shabbos. Over here, it's the current status of this thing that prevents us from moving it on Shabbos. That status may change, and maybe we don't want it to change, but lamaisa it might change, and therefore you don't call that, in terms of being mavato klimeichano, you don't call that a mavato. Okay, so the distinction, therefore, that Rav Chisda made between ein notnin kli tachat ha-tarnagolet and between kofel le-hakli shelo tishater is explained still, according to Rav Yossi, very simply. Putting it on top is considered to be a metaltel for tzerech dover she'eino nito, which is mutter. Putting it on the bottom, since there's no way to be matir that egg on Shabbos, is going to be mevatar klimeichano. However, but put it underneath tevel that's dripping out of a barrel, there's no problem because it's not really a permanent stira of the kli, or permanent binyan of the kli, or permanent bitul of the use of the kli, depending on how you're learning. And that's the important nekuda. Remember, especially if we understand the way Rashi does, that the problem over here is the virtual bittul. So a virtual bittul, which is not, there's no reality, I'm certainly not gluing the kli down. So a virtual bittul has to be a really virtual bittul. If you're telling me there's clauses somewhere that could allow us to move it, so it's not even a virtual bittul, you understand? Of course you're not allowed to move the tablets. It's not really, you can talk about the rare circumstance, somebody came along and he moved it, and he was matir the tevel on Shabbos, which he did be Isser. That's not the point. In order to view something as being a virtual reality, there can't be ways out, can there? Because then not bichlal, I'll ignore it. You see? Bishlam, if we were really being mavata l'kli, and you need to, let's say, you glued the kli down, you really glued the kli down, and now the shaila was, you could unglue it by using the wine, but the wine now is teva. Over there, obviously it would be mevato kli meichano, but you didn't do anything here. So you're trying to talk about, but for all intents and purposes, it might as well be glued. Somebody knew, for all intents and purposes, somebody may come along and be mevato the tevel. I mean, if you're talking about all intents and purposes. So therefore, you can't include a case, even if it's a far-fetched situation where you'll be able to use the kli, you can't pretend that that's a virtual reality. It's not. Tevel is mukta, but lemaisa, in terms of this halacha, it's called muchan. It's mukta only because of the yisr that's involved in it right now.
We don't say by tevel la'mukta mukta.
We'll talk about it. We're going to get to that issue. We'll talk about that issue.
But the egg is the same problem.
What?
The nightingale of the plate.
I can't hear.
The egg is the same problem.
No. What? How are you going to be matur an egg on Shabbos? Tevel, you can be matur on Shabbos. An egg, you can't be matur.
The yisur you can be matur.
How?
The tevel.
Right. No, but the egg, even be yisur, you can't.
Ignore the yisur.
We'll see that later on, whether eating it changes anything. That's the question. I mean, that's exactly the question that Aaron just raised. Whether something that was mukta can now turn unmukta. The Gemara is about to get to that. To that question. Yeah, it'll become a bus. Eisve abaye. So chavit shalteva shenish bramevi kli akram and yechta. Suddenly tevel mukhanu eitzel shabbat shimavar betikton betukan. Okay, how about the case of notnim kli tachat haner lekabel nitzotzot, which according to the first way, Rabba's explanation of Rav Chisda, was explained by the fact that that's Hatzalah Mitsuya, but now how are you going to explain the fact that you're going to be Mavato Kli Nehefano? You don't hold that the issue involves Hatzalah Mitsuya. So Rabbi Yosef, how are you going to explain the distinction or Pista? Om Ravuna Bereza Rabbi Yoshua, because Nitzotzot in Ben Mamash. That's a different issue. What are you saying? You're going to have a kli that's going to take in it all of the sparks that fly off of the nair. Yeah. And when it goes out, what's going to be left in the kli? A little bit of invisible ash? That's going to be mevatel a kli. What's that nogea? So it doesn't have mamashut. It's not something that the kli now will become a basis for. So there, of course, there's no problem, because I'm not being mevatel kli mechano, because there's nothing in the kli, for heaven's sake. Nothing of any importance that's in the kli. Okay, what about the case of Korash and Ishbras and Chinata B'Savsal Oba Aruchot Amita? You're now not going to be able to use your bed. You're putting your bed in a position in which now you have Muksa being Semech on the bed. So now the bed becomes a basis for that Muksa. How are you going to use your bed? You're being Mabato Klinechano. Since you don't hold that it has anything to do with Hatzalah, whether Mitsuya or Eina Mitsuya, how do you explain the fact that you can be Mavato your bed in this way? And if you want to take a nap, what are you going to do? Sleep standing up? No, it's talking about the Rafi, the Iboy Shokule. It's obviously, anyway, you're not allowed to put the bed under the Korah in such a way that the Korah is going to be fixed. That you're not allowed to do. You can't force the bed under it to lift up the Korah, because that's an act of binyan. All that you would be able to do anyway is to put it there so that just in case something happens, the thing would have actually collapsed. It'll hit the bed. But Lamaisa, right now, it's movable. It's not, the Korah's not leaning on it. It's roughy. It's loose. So there is no problem. If I want to, I can still remove it without changing anything. Okay, how about this case? You're allowed to put a bucket under a leaky roof? How are you allowed to put a bucket under a leaky roof? The water is filthy. You're not, certainly not going to use that. It's talking about bedelef haro'i. It's talking about a leak that's not so filthy, where you could certainly use it for water for your animals and so on. I mean, you may not drink it yourself, but you'd use it for washing or for giving to an animal to drink. Okay, how about this case? Kofina tasal ifnei ha'efrochim shialu v'yerdu. You're allowed to take a basket, turn the basket upside down, so that where you have chicks that may otherwise try to jump off and hurt themselves, this basket becomes now a stepping stone for them to jump off of a perch where they're at, and then to jump down from the basket onto the ground. These efrochim can't fly yet. And there you're going to be mevato the basket. Why would I be mevato the basket? Kesever mutar l'taltalo. He holds there's no issue removing the basket. I mean, as long as the bird's not on it, what's the problem? What? Latanya also l'taltalo says beferish you're not allowed to move the basket. That's bold and alive. That's while the bird is on it. You can't move it. I mean, the Efroach is buksa, but why would the basket be buksa? Why is it mevato kli meichano? But Tanya, the Brisa says, "Apa pishenino dana lavasur," that it's also to move it even if the bird isn't on it. Ah, says Rabbi Abu, that's talking about a case. But odana lav kol ben hashmashot migud itkatzay leben hashmashot itkatzay lekula yuma. That's talking about a case. Our case is talking about on Shabbos. Are you allowed to put the basket there? The Brayta is talking about a question of someone who put a basket down before Shabbat to be used by Efrochim. Can he move the basket on Shabbat? Those are two different issues. If you put the basket down before Shabbat and the birds were on the basket, if they remain on the basket during Ben Hashmashot, that means that you have defined this thing for this Shabbat as set aside because I couldn't use it at the onset of Shabbat. Once it's so defined, it remains Muktzeh even though the birds aren't on it. But that doesn't answer you from taking a basket, put it in front of a bird, let the bird hop onto it. What are you going to say? How long do you think the bird's going to stay on the basket? So 2 minutes later, I can use the basket. That's like using any kli. What's the problem? I could still have usage of the basket later on in the day. And therefore, in this case, it would be mutter. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, I disagree with Rav Chisda. I hold kishem she'ein notnim kli tachat ha'tanegorot lekabel beitzata, kach ein kofin alei kli b'shvir shelo tishaver. Neither of them is mutter. You can't put the cup on top of the egg to protect it, and you can't put the saucer underneath the tarnagola to lay an egg in the saucer, because I hold kosava ein kli nital ela ledavar nital b'shabbat. I hold you're not allowed, not even for hatzalah, which is mitzuya. You're never allowed to move a kli for a dover that itself cannot be moved on Shabbat. And therefore, in this case, what's the nafkamina? Whether it's on top, on the bottom, the issue is you're never allowed to move. So we ask, well, we have all these perfect examples where you are allowed to. The thing with the tevel, the thing with the korah. I mean, we went through all of these cases. So we obviously are going to ask them on Rabbi Yitzchak's approach. And he explains every one of these cases is talking about where you were moving the muktzah anyway. So in other words, you needed to move this muktzah for tzarek mikomo. So you had this thing that you were moving. So anyway, it's in your hand. Now it's a determination. So where am I going to put it? Where are you going to put it? Put it wherever you like. Once you had the right to move it, since the only issue over here was, don't pick up something in order to move it for a purpose that itself is not movable, I didn't. I picked it up because I wanted to remove it from my chair so I could sit down. Now was the question, where am I allowed to put it down? Put it down wherever the heck you please. Because I'm not moving it in these circumstances for the purpose of a davar sheino nitel, I'm moving it anyway. To tell you what, I'm not allowed to put it down there? Why am I not allowed to put it down there? So therefore, we don't get in any of these cases, we don't get into the problem of the tiltul l'tzorech davar she'eino. The shaila is, so why bother mentioning it? I mean, so then what's the point of mentioning it, all of these cases? So the truth is that the Rishonim are much, we have to explain that in each one of them there is a chiddush. You know, the Korah, you have to be, you would have thought maybe you should be gozer, that you'll jam it under the Korah. And then you're actually going to be over. The nitzotzot, you should be gozer, maybe you'll put out the nitzotz once you see it fall into the kli, and so on and so forth. So each one of these cases was mentioned, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, for a completely different reason. Just that you shouldn't think that there's other things involved that aser it. What about the ancillary issue, namely that you're moving something, l'tzorech davar sheino nitel? Obviously, all the cases are talking about where you weren't moving something, l'tzorech davar sheino nitel. Where anyway you were moving it for some other purpose. And now it's just coming to discuss the important issue. What about the fact that you may jam the Korah in, or you may put out the nitel, and so on? That's a separate question. Tashma. So let's see if we can bring a raya about this issue of the tzarek dover hanita. Achat beitzah shenolda b'shabbat, achat beitzah shenolda b'yom tov, ein mitaltalim, lo lachasot ba takli, v'lo lismog ba krei hamita, avor kofea lehakli, b'shvil shelo tishaver. Now here it says, if an egg was laid on Shabbat or Yom Tov, you cannot use that egg for any purposes. Even if you're not coming to eat it, all you want to do is position it. So let's say you would take the egg, you would put it on a cup to cover the contents of the cup to keep it clean. Or, what better purpose is there for an egg? This is one of the favorite usages of an egg in the Gemara, is if you've got a bed that one leg is higher than the other, the best use of an egg is to put the egg under, but of course you have to make sure you put it right on the sharp end. And here's the best use of an egg, because an egg is one of the strongest things in the world, as long as it's positioned in that way. So use it to support your bed, and then lie down on the egg. Meanwhile, it gives you some additional information about structural strength and things like that. Right? Fascinating usage. The last thing you think of using an egg for, but obviously the first thing our Gemara men will think of using an egg for. So don't think you can use this egg for the normal purpose of putting it under a bed to support the bed. No, sir. Below the smoke park, it's really, isn't it adorable? Just agav will take the place. That seems to be totally off the wall. You know, and someone who doesn't know about the structure of eggs will say, what are you talking about? And just agav.
Anybody ever tried this?
What's that?
Anybody ever tried this?
Sure. Try it. Try it at home. Take an egg and press it. See if you can break it.
Yeah. You can stand on it. I mean, no problem.
Obviously, you can stand on it. Otherwise, how could you put your bed on it?
Raw egg.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I'll tell you.
It's the sure, that's where they make light bulbs.
So he explains, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak will answer that we'll have to talk again. Hachanami b'tzarich lemekomo. In all of these cases, we're talking about tzarich lemekomo. Tashma, how about this case? Porsim machatzalot al gabei avanim b'shabbat. You're allowed. Somebody wants to have stones that are not exposed to damp, for whatever he's worried about afterwards, he won't be able to use them for painting.
You not know.
Exposed to wet.
Ah.
And it's rain. Yeah. So he wants to cover them on Shabbat. So it says over here, you can cover them. Or simachatzalot, you can take a canvas, and you can cover these rocks. Now, I mean, I assume the reason that you want to cover them is you're planning that they're, I mean, these are rocks that are certainly not set aside for any purpose other than the usher purposes to build with or whatever. They're certainly not mukhan for Shabbos. So it comes out that you're carrying the canvas for another purpose. Oh, here we're talking about, now obviously we could have answered in any of these cases. We could have answered B'tzarich lemekomo. The problem is that as we've pointed out before, we're not interested in being marbe cases to tell me tzarich lemekomo. Each and every one of these cases has to have some element of chiddush in it, because I don't need a crazy case to tell me that you can move something b'tzarich lemekomo. You can tell me that once, and that's it. I don't need 20 cases which are all based on that. That's the chiddush. So Bishleim, in the earlier cases that we had, we can identify a chiddush in them. But over here, I mean, we'd like to find something that is in and of itself the din that it's referring to, and not coming to tell me some other thing. What chiddush would there be in this? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Here it's coming to tell me that avanim that are mekur zalot, they're chazin lebeit akisei. Obviously, they didn't have toilet paper in those days. They used avanim. So if you have avanim that are smooth on one end, so then they can be used for the bathroom. Those are considered to be mukhan for Shabbat. And there you don't want the water falling on them and messing them up and so on. So you can cover them because they're not mukta. Tashma, but how about this case? Porsim machatzalot agabi livenim b'Shabbat. You have, obviously, if you have bricks. I mean, what are those bricks there for? Those bricks are there for building purposes. So you're allowed to cover, you want to cover now these bricks so that they shouldn't become wet. You're planning on plastering them or you're planning on painting them after you build with them. You don't want them wet. So why are you allowed to move a canvas for that? I mean, certainly they're mukta if they're set aside for building purposes, and you're certainly not going to use bricks for the bathroom. So what's the point of moving it on Shabbat? Answer to the Gemara, it's not talking about bricks that are set aside for a house. On the contrary, it's talking about bricks, the ishtayu mibinyana, bricks that were left over after a building project is completed. So now they're not being set aside for binyan. What therefore, I mean, why are you keeping these bricks? Because bricks are great things to use for supporting things, leaning on, especially if all of your regular achila and so on is for leaning. So okay, the chazim and mizgalayo, you use them to set them up for ad hoc couches and so on. So there, it's not considered to be mukta. Tashma, porsim machatzelet agavei kaveret vorim b'shabbat, b'chama mipnei achama, u'b'gishamim mipnei agishamim, u'bilvad shoir kaven letzut. Now, here you've got yourself a beehive, and you're trying to protect it. And these bees, they don't like a lot of heat. And you don't want to get the whole hive wet. You're talking about now these little kaverets that they used to create beehives. This, by the way, is a very recent, relatively recent modern invention, the modern beehive, which is carefully constructed. The problem in a beehive is that when you remove part of the hive, for removing the honey, you generally destroy the hive. You can't just break apart a hive. And so the modern beehive was constructed after a lot of experimentation in which there are separate rows in it, each one of which can be removed, that have just the correct amount of space for the bees to treat it as a single hive, so that it's large enough to invest in, but that if one is removed, they don't view it as breaking the hive. And I read once an article, and the bees don't view it as an attack on the hive, and they'll continue to use the hive, which is what you want. And it's fascinating that the ancient covert was built exactly on that principle. So the apparent, I mean, they think it's a brand new invention. There's a whole article on it in the American Heritage of Technology, Invention and Technology. And Lemaisa, the ancient covert is built on the same idea. So that what they used to have was, exactly as they have in the modern one, they have shtei chalot, which are permanent, and then the edges were made in such a way that the hives that were built on them could be removed without damaging the ikar shtei chalot, so that the bees would continue to live in the hive and to produce and refill it.
Let me add the point that there's too much honey, then the hive decides it's too much, first we have to split, and 30-40% of the bees will go off and build another one. So you have to keep on taking
No, that's a different issue. So now the shaila is, you want to protect your little hive here. So it says over here, lechorif, it says, from the heat or from the rain, we're talking about summer or winter. There's got to be a time which you got heat, a time which you have rain, right? So might as well be saying summer or winter. As long as you're careful not to trap the bees, because you're not allowed to trap on shop. Well, your kavana shouldn't be the trap. We'll see later on that it means the action being at the trap. Answers the Gemara, Achlamayaskin and Deika Devash. We're talking about a hive that has honey in it, which of course is problematic, as Tosis points out, but you're not allowed to take honey out of a hive. That's an issue, right? So Yechayavachatas, it's considered to be the same thing as harvesting from the ground, because it's Oker Mimokam Gidulo. Okay, so Tosis, the simplest answer of Tosis is that we're talking about a hive in Barnea's neighborhood, which is right before the bees are about to split, as Barnea told us. So it's overflowing with honey. Those things are not mechorber. That honey floats on the surface. And there you can take it out without it's being oker dover migidulan.
Even on Shabbos?
Even on Shabbos, because it's mechor. You want honey. This is the way you're storing your honey. I mean, it's a little scratchy sometimes, but, you know. So it's the best way to store honey, as fresh as could be. Just take it straight out of the hive. Just make sure that you have a little balloon that makes you look like a cloud, and you'll be fine. So, it's talking about that there's dvash, and therefore it's not mukt. Amalei revuk v'mimesho revashi. Wait a second. It says over here, as far as I see, winter or summer, because it says to protect it from the heat or protect it from the rain. To me, that's saying winter or summer. Now, kenach v'yemot hachamah. We know, of course, the bees during the summer are active, and there will be dvash. How are you going to explain the fact that in the middle of the winter there's going to be dvash if the bees are dormant? There is no dvash there. So what are you going to do? B'yemot ha'gishamim deleka dvash ma'ikol ha'memer. What are you going to do about that? Oh, that's not a problem. Lo nitzka lo'otan shtei chalot. The leftover two chalot, which are always there, winter or summer, that's going to be there, and that you want to protect in the winter too. What do you mean? The two chalot? Those are muktzes. Or muktzes, you know. That's right. You can't use those two chalot. Dechoshev alayu. It's talking about over here that you decided yesterday you're desperate for honey, and it's getting to be around 11 o'clock and so on, you know, and. No, that much you don't remember. Yeah, that much you don't remember. All right. So they're muktzes, but you're talking about the chashiv alayu, and therefore it's okay. I mean, what about the problem that Tosu says? You'll be chayav achatas from doing it. So Tosu says could be talking about where the chalot had already been removed, and then you just put them back in for storage.
Does that mean that when you were sitting on those construction bricks, you had to intend them to be used during Shabbat?
No. it's assuming over here that that's the purpose of leftover bricks. But we're going to talk about this actually.
The purpose to sit on it.
Yes, not to sit on it, but to use it for leaning on. It's interesting.
A permitted purpose.
Yeah, well, it's more than a permitted purpose. It's a standard purpose. It's interesting that Abba's raising this issue because the post can actually consider whether changing social circumstances should nowadays make levanim mukta, because certainly they are not used any longer for this purpose. It was only in the time of the Romans where that was the derech. You needed things that were handy to lean on. Even if you're going to make a picnic, you can't sit for your picnic. You've got to lean for your picnic. What are you going to lean on? But nowadays, ain't a finami. I mean, what in the world would bricks be for? If you weren't miyakeh them for some purpose that's mutter before Shabbos, it should be no different than any other stones. So indeed, in our times, there are shadows for tshuvas about this issue. And many hold that it's usser to fall asleep. That's the real purpose of bricks. Bricks and brick bats.
Is that the wax or the honey or both?
Oh. Yeah, the hive. The challah is a part of the hive. The thing is that they built support for the hive so it would end up being removable. Saying that's very, it's fascinating because that's exactly the principle of modern people.
Yeah, talking about
yeah, that's the idea. You leave it there so that the bees, while they're dormant, stay there, and then they continue to.
And it has honey in it.
It has to have honey. That's the.
Just leave it, and that's it.
Yeah, and then next summer it'll become full again.
But it has some honey in it.
It has to have some honey, otherwise it's.
The queen is. The queen is.
Well, it's the queen and the larvae that are going to remain over the winter.
They're eating all winter.
Yeah. So, that's that case. Now, I'm just curious. You said over here that it's mutter only because you had in mind specifically to use it. Now, I find that a little bit misleading because if what you're saying is halofa shavalai umai, what are you saying? That if you hadn't had in Das specifically to use it, then it would have been us, right? So, I mean, isn't it more important to tell me that difference? That, and of course, we're only talking about a case where you had in mind, rather than to tell me as long as you don't have in mind to trap the bees. I mean, here it's almost like a given. Now, you're certainly not going to be interested in trapping the bees. It's a given that you got a problem in needing to have kavanah to use it, because otherwise it'll be yasser. But that you don't mention. It makes more sense. Liflog velitnei bedida. You should have said the distinction in the very same case without introducing a new factor about trapping. Talk to me about the variations in taking down the honey. You should have said. Bamed devarim amurim. When are we matir you to take a canvas and put it over this beehive? But normally you wouldn't be able to do this to a hive if it was the last two chalot. No, it's trying to tell me, that's the main chiddush here, don't you understand? The main chiddush is that look, we want to be matur, a case of chishev. But you have to know that the chishev is not the only issue. There's going to be an issue on Shabbos as well, which is another element of kavanah at the time. So, bevachalit kavein letzud. Oh, wait a second. Shaloyit kavein letzud. Who are you talking about? Who's it going according to? Rabbi Shimon. You're telling me, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a dover shenamit kavein mutar, would allow this if you don't have kavanah to trap the bees. I got news for you. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a mukta. So what am I mutter anyways? What are we talking about? And Rabbi Shimon would tell me that as long as I was making it before Shabbat, I could put a canvas on it. Rabbi Shimon, look at me, you're crazy. I say, well, what's the use of removing a canvas on Shabbos? What are you nuts? Why would I ever tell you such a thing? So how could this be going like Rabbi Shimon? And if it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, what difference is it going to make? If you have kavanah, you don't have kavanah. Lamaisa, when you're putting the canvas over the beehive, you're going to trap some bees? So then according to him, it should be usher anyway because of that. So how's it going to work out now, huh? According to him. No, you know, I mean, the truth is, you should have thought of this yourself. What are we talking about? We're be'etzem, you're putting the canvas over it in such a way that you're trapping. So it's going to make a nafkamina according to Rabbi Shimon even. If you haven't come on at the trap, you don't have a kavanah at the trap. You're trapping. You know, the pshat over here is that Le'olam, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And it works out fine according to him. When he says, B'vad shelo yitkavein latsud, he doesn't mean you shouldn't have in mind to trap, because even if you don't mind to trap, it would be a secretion that you're trapping, even Rabbi Shimon would have asked. When he says, as long as you don't have in mind to trap, he means, as long as you have in mind to make sure that you're not trapping. That's what he means. Meaning, you leave a little escape hole for the bees. Don't put the canvas completely over the hive. Rather, you should do it in a way, shelo yeasena kemetsuda. Don't make it as if you trap the bees. The lishvok luratcha kiheka the lo litz to do memela. Leave them a way to get out, in order that it shouldn't be defined as trapping memela, whether you intended it or not. The chiddush being that there would be an isser of trapping even on something that is not normally trapped. So explains Tosfos. Rav Ashi says, thank you. So Rav Ashi says, your whole kasha is memela based on a wrong assumption. Thanks a lot. You're telling me that because it says rain or shine, it's got to be referring to summer, winter? Not true. Mikatani b'yamota chamav, b'yamota kishamim. Did it say anything? That was pretty good. It only took him 6 bobs to leave.
He's trying to do another bob.
Does it bob? I do something, you know?
It's catching.
Huh? Now we're going to blame Richard? It's all Richard's fault.
Eggs underneath the chair. We set up the eggs. But if someone leans the wrong way, it hits the side of the egg, it crashes.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it's all right. We've already done it. No excuses.
Mi katani. B'yamota chamal, b'yamota kishamim. Does it say anything here about summer or winter? It talks about sun and rain. You're telling me there's no time of the year where you can have sun and rain? Why can't you have sun and rain? It's talking about during Nisan, during Tishrei, where you have both sun and rain. So we're talking about Yomei Nisan and Yomei Tishrei, v'ika chamal, v'ika kishamim, and v'ika dvash. You've always got honey in the honey times of the year. And therefore, you've got both rain and shine and honey. And whoever told you that it's talking about a time in the year when you have to access those last two challahs, that's not the point. Your whole issue was, don't try to tell me there's honey in there. If it's the middle of the winter, there wouldn't be any honey in there. And that got you into all of these contortions. We're talking about the last ones. The last ones are mukzer. Well, it's talking about, you thought about it before Shabbos, so why didn't you mention it? And so on. Forget about it. All of that's unimportant. We never talked about the last two challahs. We're talking about an overflowing hive during Nisan and during Tishrei time.
Who lives in Chutzpah where the weather isn't quite so...
Who lives in Chutzpah? Chutzpah would have to mean Australia.
Well, how about America? You know, how about
America? It wasn't discovered.
How about Italy? Like that, where they did have normal, you know, weather all year.
The case of Zurich, Tiveris, no problem, a Muxa mission over there.
Case of Zurich, Kaveret, what?
No problem, a Muxa mission over there.
It was just a nice, empty, useful Kaveret that didn't have any bees in it yet. Okay. Now, Rupshashas says, you know, you guys think that you're so great, come up with these brilliant new pshatim over here in Eretz Yisroel. I got to tell you something. In Bava, we thought about this ages ago. Poku v'omer le Rav Yitzchak, go tell Rav Yitzchak kvar tirgum ha-Ravuna le-Shmaitcha be-Bava. Ravuna had said basically your pshat that there's a din of ein kli nitel elo l'tzarech dovra nitel. He said that in Bavel. The Omer Abuna. Why do I know that? Because he took for granted that you've got a problem in being metaltal for a purpose that's not metal. The Omer Abuna osim mechitza lemeit. You're allowed to create a mechitza for a body that is in the sun. Somebody dies on Shabbos, and his body is now mutal b'chama. You can make attempt to protect that body, but only if it's for a chai. But eino osim mechitza lemeit b'shvil meit. Huh? Mayi, what are you talking about? Omer Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Chaitan Shimon Bar. Here's the case. A meit is mutal b'chama. We need to protect the body from the heat of the sun. What do we do? Ba'im shnei b'nei adam v'yoshvim b'tzido. Two people come and sit down next to the meit. They now become uncomfortable because it's getting hot on the ground. So we bring chamla milamata. Ze mevi mita v'yoshev alev, ze mevi mita v'yoshev alev. So each guy brings out now a bed to sit on comfortably. He's got a right to bring out a bed to sit on comfortably. As a matter of fact, Tosfos says, why does it have to get hot to want a bed to sit on comfortably? Why can't we just allow you to bring out the bed to sit on comfortably? So he suggests that it could be that because of the fact that this whole thing is a trick in order to be matric for a mate, we want it to be marked as much as possible for any appearances that have been done for the mate. So we want you to show that you're uncomfortable first. Yeah, of course. Now, it's getting hot from the sun. Kamla and Milamala. So what do? Maybe in Machatzelet, we bring a little sun cover, a canvas of some kind, Upasin Aliyah. Now they take that canvas and put it over them.
Is it an oil?
No, you're allowed to cover yourself. This, by the way, becomes the source of the halacha that you're allowed to make the chosims, talas, on Shabbos. Or the chatan Torah, chatan Bereshit, and Yantzim. They bring a raya from here.
Why not an umbrella?
Why not an umbrella? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked this question from this Gemara. So why not an umbrella? So he explains, because an umbrella stays open by itself. So Mimela, it's an ohel. Now you're being metal of that which is an ohel anyway.
So what if you have to
over here, no, then it would be awesome. In other words, it's only because you're holding something over you. You're not holding something over you. You can't set up an OL over you.
No, I'm saying if it was the umbrella where you had to keep your hand there so it wouldn't fall down. So, you know,
yeah, but even when it falls down, it remains an OL, the umbrella.
It closes just to nothing.
No, but then you're being so-so the umbrella. Maybe. You're saying it's a type of umbrella that won't stay open?
Right.
Or anything on it. Could be that it's mutter. If you have an umbrella that's a broken umbrella,
right,
essentially you're just being poresit.
The only way to stay open is
where you hold it up. So maybe that would be mutter, other than the fact that it doesn't look too good or so on. But that's how he was bakalic between the umbrella and this gemara. Okay, so you can hold something over your head. You know, let's say it's raining. You want to grab your talus, put it over your head. You can do that. That's not an umbrella, even though lemaisa, you're creating an OL, but because you're holding it in your hands, temporarily, it's not the derech of a TS OL. It's just like a beggar that's protecting you.
So if the two guys are sitting on beds and they have this blanket between them and they drop it on the bed, it becomes an OL on the bed.
Let's finish the Gemara. So now they take this, they put it over themselves to protect themselves from the sun. Okay. Now they're getting tired of standing outside. Of course, they yawn loudly and so on. So at this point, they say, the heck with it. Take their bed and put the bed up, leaving the ohel. Oh, gosh, look at that bed. It was just hanging there. And now you're left with an ohel that's protecting the mate. Because you're allowed, why are you allowed to put the bed up? Because you're allowed to build something in the opposite way in which it's built. In other words, you're not allowed to spread an oral out over beds, but you're allowed to put a bed under an oral. So since over here the prisa exists first, now that you build from bottom up as opposed to from top down as opposed to from bottom up, there's no issue of making an oral, and you're left with an oral that was made now for a chai. So zeh zokeif mitato v'nishmat v'oleichlo, v'zeh zokeif mitato v'nishmat v'oleichlo, v'nimtzeit mechitza asiyah me'eleah. And presto, here was a mechitza that basically made itself out of nowhere. But meanwhile, you see that we only allow you to bring this stuff out for a chai. Why can't you bring out these materials for the meit, the chatchila? Why do we put on this whole hatzagah in which we're only moving it for the use of people who are anyway out there and need to be protected? Obviously, because Rav Huna was taking for granted, Rav Yitzchak, your big kiddush, that you're not allowed to be nital, something l'tzor, davar sheino nital. Which in this case is the maid.
So this is all one case, right? First the
all one case.
Two things,
No. All one so case. One trying to figure out how you could protect the maid. Itzma. Meita mutal b'chama. Now there's, of course, there's a another issue here, another way of doing this. If you have a maid that's in the sun, says Rabbi Yonamar Shmuel, what you could do is you could roll the body. Hofcho mimita lamita. So you bring a mitah, assuming that the maid is on a mitah. You turn the mitah over so that the body rolls onto the next mitah. Then move that mitah and roll over and so on, until you get him into the shade. Now, obviously, this is based on an assumption that tiltul min hatzad, if you're moving things in an unusual fashion, it's not the way they would normally be moved, or you're moving it through something else. Now, I must warn you that lahalacha we're going to have to ultimately distinguish between tiltul al yedei davar acher and tiltul min hatzad. These are really not exactly the same issue, and we'll see the halachic differences between them. To move something through some other thing, which is here you're picking up the bed and moving the mate, and to tumanatzad is you're moving something in a way that certainly you would not usually roll a body, so you're doing it kilachar yad. That's two different issues. But over here, we're being matir certainly what's called tiltum min hatzad, which is the equivalent of kilachar yad.
Indirect movement.
Well, no. Min hatzad includes both issues, yes.
Doesn't matter if you want to.
No. That's not the point. We're not talking about carrying. We're talking about a meit and a chatz. It's a different issue of carrying. Here we're talking about mukta.
It doesn't matter if you don't need the mita, you don't want the
mita. The mita is not going to change anything because the mita is bottled to the meit. It's not going to. In other words, normally you wouldn't be able to carry the meit on the mita and call that minatzad because it's the meit that you're carrying. Rav Chanina bar Shamya mishmei de Rav Amar. Now here, there's a simple solution. Meniach alav kikar otino. Put a loaf of bread or a child on the mate. Why dafka this? Why not kli? Because anybody may make a mistake of thinking that the things that you're putting on the mate are for purposes of kfura with it. So things that the mate used and so on. But nobody thinks you're going to be burying a child with the mate. Yes.
Unless you have to be an Egyptian or something.
The wife. The choice.
And then you could be. And then you could be metatalit. So the question is, we've got three possibilities here. Building this mechitza through this elaborate plan of building a mechitza, tiltul min hatzad, or moving the meit ostensibly for the purposes of the kikar otino. So heicha de'ikar kikar otinok, if you have a kikar otinok handy, kula amalo pligi d'shar, everybody is moda that such, for purposes of moving a meit, such things are mutter. Ki pligi de letter, The machloket between the other two approaches of building a machitza or rolling the body is in fact the machloket. Man sabat tiltul minatzat shmei tiltul. So one man the Omar who holds that you have to go through this Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda strat that we said before, you have to go through this facade of building a mechitza for Chaim, that he obviously holds you can't roll the body. Why? Because he holds tiltul minatzad is considered to be tiltul. Therefore, what's the heter of rolling a body? Umar sabar lo shmei tiltul. The other man, the Omar, holds since it's minatzad, it's not called tiltul, and therefore it would be mut. So let me get on. Let us assume that this thing is actually machlokas tanaim, because it says ein metzilin et hametu b'nei adleika. If a fire breaks out in a house in which there's a body, you're not allowed to remove the body from the house. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Larkish, shamati shematzilin et hametu b'nei adleika. I heard that you are allowed to remove a body from the house. Now I ask you, hekidon. I mean, what's the case? Idi kekikaro tinok. If a loaf or a tinok is available, my time in the Tanakhama, why would anybody say you're not allowed to remove a body? I mean, we just said everybody is breda, that there's certainly a heter to remove a mate if you can have a litzorech, tinok, or a kika. An idaleka, if it's not available, why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish saying, no, you're allowed to remove it? So must be alalav tiltum in atzadi kibina. What are they arguing about? That apparently Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds, if you don't have a child or a loaf, okay, so roll the body. But get it out of the fire, because it's still tiltum min atzad. Mashenke, that's on the comments, says, ein metzilin et hamet b'nei adleika, holds that you're not allowed to roll the body. Mar sava tiltum min atzad shmei tiltul, umar sava lo shmei tiltul. No. Actually, there's something much more fundamental over here. It may be the kuliyama tiltum min atzad shmei tiltul. Nobody holds you're allowed to roll the body. The question over here is, can you pick up the body and remove it from the fire? Why? The reason that Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds that it's mutter, and this is a fascinating din that we're going to see comes up a number of times in Hilchot Shabbat, that we allow you to do an isur on Shabbat, that's min rabbanan, for fear that you're going to end up doing a more chomer isur, that is going to be unavoidable if we don't. Since mitosha adam bohul al meto, people basically lose their minds in certain circumstances. A person who sees a parent about to be burned up in a fire is not going to pay attention to the Yisurim of Shabbos. And in losing his self-control, he may come and put out the fire. In other words, if you allow him to remove the mate, so okay, so he removes the mate. But once he's put the whole thing, he's, I'm not allowed to move the body, well, what am I going to do? He doesn't think now, well, if I'm going to do something, I might as well be over in Yisur Rabbon and not in Yisur D'oraisa. Once he's mishtakrer from the limits that have been placed on him, he's not mechalek between one or the other. He just goes and does what comes most naturally to him. So therefore, you're not going to be mocked him. So ati lichbuyeh. He's going to come to Mamish, put out the flames. Om Rabbi Yehuda ben Shilo, Om Rabasi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Alakha ke Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, the mate. We actually paskin that way. Don't think that he's being martyred till 2 minutes out. That's not the point. It's dafka the mate, and it's dafka where there's a fire. If it's the mate is in the sun, we're not afraid you're going to put out the sun, and therefore you're not allowed to move the mate. And so we're mocked to this dafka in the situation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish.
So we're allowed to build the oil
board. Or to use the kikur tino.
Right. Then why did the case with David HaMelech and Shabbos bring only part of the kikur of the tino?
As opposed to what? What should we do? That was in the sun. I said, we're not afraid that you're going to put out the sun. I mean, even though it's Shlomo, you know, you never know. Could be there's no is. We already said there's no iser of kibui on things that aren't chemical fire. So even if he puts out the sun.
In the sun, you should roll the body.
Oh, if you don't have a kikartino, you have two possibilities.
Yeah.
No, we're not. That's Bate Tiltotum and Atzad? Not necessarily. We haven't seen how we're talking about Tiltotum and Atzad.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, and we haven't seen yet. We're going to see Tiltotum and Atzad is a big, big subject with a lot of variations. But you can't use the oil that drips into a kli that was there from before Shabbat. Why not? Because it's not minamuchan. It's not something that had been set aside as usable or meant to be used on Shabbos. Tana Rabban, Motar Hashemin Shebener V'Shebekara Asur Rabbi Shimon Matir. Now here is our first open discussion of Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon presents himself the halacha. And it's a very interesting thing. Rabbi Shimon obviously is moda that you can't remove the shemen from the ner, that's an derisa, while it's burning, right? Because that's kiboy. So clearly this thing was, I mean, it's the ultimate muktzah. You're not, forget about muktzah, you're not allowed to move it. Now, because there's an issur involved, there's a situation called muktzah machmat issur. We'll see that Lamaisa Rabbi Shimon is made that as long as the Isur is still being done, that's still burning, he's also moda that was his katsoi for the Isur. Question over here is, once it's in the plate and the light has gone out and there's no longer any reason to Asur the Shimon, he says, what's the problem? Muksa, because it wasn't set aside to use. I don't believe in a muksa that's called passively eno mina mukhan. Wasn't meant to be used. But it doesn't have to be mina mukhan. There are cases where it's maybe worse than eno mina mukhan. That we'll see. There may be places, you'll note that we're very careful to differentiate in the language. Eno mina mukhan is a passive mukta. There's such a thing as an active mukta, in which I create effectively a setting aside. Let's say I'm a shaykhet. And I have a knife that's very valuable. I pack it up in my felt-lined box, close it, and put it away. Maybe over there, Rabbi Shimon would be moda. That's worse than eno mina mukhan. Correct? I may have things that I wouldn't want to touch because they're disgusting. Maybe that's worse than eno mina mukhan. We have to go through the various cases of the levels of muktzah. And we'll see there are many different levels of muktzah, which make an afkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and make other nafkaminas. There's some muktzahs that I'm allowed to move because I need their makom. Other muktzahs I can't move even if I need their makom. And other differences. So this, from this point on, again, let's assume that we're talking over here, as Tosfos said at the beginning of the Masechta, our organization is based on the issues that will arise naturally on Erev Shabbos. So what happened is we started off with making sure that our pockets are clear before Shabbos and that our ears are clear if we're carpenters and have a measuring rod behind our ears, or engineers and have a little slide rule behind our ears. And then we got into the questions of Hadlokas Hamer, and then we got into the questions of how to set up the stove before Shabbos, or maybe whether you're allowed to take out the food. And then we got into the shaila here of what happens if the ner that I lit on Shabbos is dripping, stopped from dripping. And the next question we got to worry about is, and what about the use of that oil, which leads directly into the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, and the questions of whether there's such a mukta machmas iser or eno mina mukhan, and so on and so forth. And so naturally, we're then going to go on to the shaila of, and now that the lamp went out, can I remove it from the table to put on a new tablecloth? Because all of these things, according to Tosfos, are organized in order of Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. And then later on, we'll have separate prokim that deal with the prote issues, bichlal, of the broader questions of muktzah. That's later. The broader questions of malachas. That's later. But first, we'll just introduce the sugyas as they would come up.
Why shouldn't that be
nullah?
Because
the oil that was designated.
Why would it be
nullah?
Now the flames out,
or it's going
out of the thing.
That's not called nullah. I don't know why. Nullah means And that's not what it means. Change in status is not nirvana. Change in status is moksha. So we have two daf to review, huh? Okay, we're holding an in notening. No, before that, we're holding on the mem beis. Aval notein, two dots, correct?
Yes.
Aval notein, turn around. Notein adam chamin letoka tzonein, velo atzonein letoka chamin, ibe beit shamay. Beit yilel omri, tein chamin letoka tzonein, beit zonein letoka chamin, mutar. Bamed dvorim amurim bekos, where it's a klisheni and it's not a lot, avobah, and you don't want it to be heated a lot. Avobah ambati, chamin letoka tzonein, om. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Oser. Amram Nachum Loch, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Sofer of Yosef Lemember, Sefel Areo Kambat. Omale Abaye, Tani Rabbi Chia, Sefel Inu Kambat. And wait a second, Lemaida, so look at that. I mean, of course, Sefel is Kambat. And furthermore, Rabbi Nachum Paskas, Loch, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. So in other words, what you're saying is you can't use warm water on Shabbos. Elo B'Shabbat, Rechitza, B'Kamin Lecha. No, misavet Reb Shimon haSefer koy, a reisha koy, where Beit Hillel matrin bein chamin atok tzoneinu bein tzoneinu atok chamin, comes along Reb Shimon ben Menasseh and he asks tzoneinu atok chamin, but he still matir chamin atok tzoneinu. So then what? Then you mean Reb Shimon ben Menasseh is going like Beit Shammai? No. Achi kamar lo nechlek u Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'dover zeh disagrees. There was no such machlokes. Om Rav Nevi Rav Yeshua Chazina leil Rava. The Lord carpet amana miratani Rabbi Chia no ten adam kiton shomayim atok sefer shomayim bein chamin atok tzonein bein tzonein atok chamin. He did that. Omele Ravuna al Ravashi. It's not the same thing. Dilma shayne hatam the mifsa kli. There it's inside of the kli. Omele no. The case was maare itma maare adam kiton shomayim atok sefer shomayim bein chamin atok tzonein bein tzonein atok chamin, and that's what Rava was relying on. Ha'il fisvak deiran sheheviran merutachim. It's another kli rishon. Lo yiten letocham tavlin, aval notenu letocha ki'ara o letocha tamchui. Rabbi Yehuda omer lakol noten chutz b'davar sheish b'chometz b'tzir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda was a reisha koy, v'lekulo dilma seifa koy, and he was saying even in a kli sheni, you're not allowed to put it if it has chometz b'tzir. Tashma. The Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer lekol ilfasin mini kli rishon hu notein lekol akiderot rotchot kli rishon hu notein chutz midavar sheish bo chometz v'tzir. It's a big kula. So for Rabbi Yehuda Lameima melach areo ketavlin the bekli rishon b'sheila bekli sheni lo b'sheila omele abaya Tani Rabbi Chia melach eino ketavlin. It's more easily cooked than bekli sheni nami b'sheila, in which case he's polag al Reb Nachman. Now Reb Nachman actually, he could hear himself with Yosef Lameimar Melach Areo Ketavlin to Bekli Rishon B'Sheila Bekli Sheni Yilo B'Sheila. And in this version, Omele Abaye Tani Rabbi Chia Melach Eina Ketavlin, in the sense that even Bekli Rishon Nani Lo B'Sheila V'ayin Adon Reb Nachman Tzrich HaMilcha B'Sheila Kebisra Detura Ein Notin Kli Tachat HaNer. The kabel boet Hashem and v'im natnuah mivod yom, then it's mutar. V'ein neotine mena, v'fish eino min amuchan. Omer fish avu pishem reinatin kli takat atarnegrodah the kabel beitzatan, avu kofah lehakli shalot tishaber. Omer Rabba, what's the logic in that? My time, Rufista. Because so far, it's actually one issue. You can't be move a kli for the purpose eino nital. But for time, the case over here for Hatzola, you're allowed. So Kasavar Tanegolat Asuyala Tiobetzata Bashpa Veina Asuyala Tiobetzata Bemakom Yidron, and therefore Hatzola Metzuya Yitiru Hatzola Sheina Metzuya Lo Yitiru Eitz VeYabaye. You're telling me Hatzola Sheina Metzuya Lo Yitiru. How about the bright of the case of Nishbar Lo Chavich Al Tevel Barosh Gago that it's mutter to be maybe kli Umeiniach Tachtea? That's certainly not Mitsuya. Oh, yes, it is. But Gulf Echadati. There's Shrikh in the pocket. Well, how about this case? No, Tim Kli Tachat Anel Lekabel Nitzotzot. Nitzotzot are Shrikh. Okay, how about this case? Kofi Ki Arala Nershalo Yeach Ez Bikora. That's talking about a low house, about the Gehine, the Shkiach Budleika. I mean, remember, we started the Masechta off for dwarves. V'chein korash nishbara, samchim ota v'safsal u'be'arukot amita. It's talking about Kshrei Chadate, the Avidi the Paki. Well, how about notim kli tachat adelot b'Shabbat? Roofs are leaking? Sure. But the Chadate, Shkiach the Dalfi. Rav Yossi says, no, Rav Chista's logic is Mishum Bika Mavata, Kli Meichano. And therefore, on top of the age, you're not being Mavata. Etve Abai is Abad Chavit Shotel Hashem Nishbara, maybe Kli Achem Niech Tachtea. Why isn't that Mavata Kli Meichano? Omale, because Tevon Muchano Etzel Shabbat. Shimba Vava Tikdom Betuka. Well, how about noting Kli Tach and the Nerekabel Ditzotzot? Om Rav Yossi, that's because Nitzotzot ain't Be'am Mamash. You're not being Mavata anything. Well, how about the case of a Korash and Ishbras of Chinata Bezov Solborochot Amita? That's talking about the Rafi, and you can easily pull it out again. The boy Shokulin. And how about the bucket Takat Adelef B'Shabbat? That's talking about clean water, B'Delef Haroui. How about Kofinat Asal, Lifnei Afrochim Shiyalu V'Yardu? Yeah, it's Kesav Ramut L'Tatulo. Ay Vatanya Asur L'Tatulo, that's only Bodan Allah. Ay Vatanya, even though Eno Dan Allah Asur. On Rabbi Yehuda, that case is talking about Bodan Olav Ko Ben Hashmashot from before Shabbos. Then Migod It Katzai Le Ben Hashmashot It Katzai Le Kula Yuma. On Rabbi Yitzchak, Kishem She'en Not In Kli Tachat HaTarnagolet Le Kabel Beit Zata Kach En Kofin Olav Kli Bishvur Shalot Yishader. And I disagree with Rav Chista's fundamental difference. Kosova En Kli Nital Ela Le Davah HaNital B'Shabbat. And I don't care if it's Atzalah Mitzuya or not. Meitve kol hani ki yufta, and every one of them he explained it's talking about b'tzarek l'mikoma. Tashma achat b'tzah shenolda b'shabbat achat b'tzah shenolda b'yom tov in mitatami lo lo kasot b'takli v'lo lo smog b'korei hamita avo kofa l'akli b'shur shelo t'shaver lo finami b'tzarek l'mikoma. Tashma porsim akatzalot agabi avanim b'shabbat, that's talking about avanim akurzalot t'chazin l'beit akizah. Tashma Persim Akhtar Agabi Levinim B'Shabbat. That's talking about Levinim B'Shtayr Mibinyona, the Chazan of Mizgaloi. Tashma Persim Akhtar Agabi Kaber Devorim B'Shabbat. The Chamah Mipnei Chamah B'Kshamim Mipnei Achvishamim. Ubavad Shalot Gavim Letzud. Ah, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbat. No, Achum Ha'eskin, Dika Dvash. Omalei Ravuk Mishlon Ravashi. That's only B'Imot HaChamah. It's normal to have Dvash. B'Imot HaKshamim, the Lekad Dvash. Ma Yikalamim, ha? Lo nitzcha, lo tam shtek halot. What? Lo tam shtek halot zu muktzas. The choshev alayim. So what? Halo kishev alayim mayor asa? Iyok, iyod, it's only bevat shalei tkevei letzud. Why not be poor like vilitim vidida? Tame, devorim amurim. Kishe chishev alayim. Avo lo chishev alayim asur. Because of kamash v'lam. Avo pishe chishev alayim. Bevat shalei tkevei letzud. Well, who's that going according to? I Rabbi Shimon, so let me muktzah. I Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't hold of lo mitkaven. So let me do you, ki lo mitkaven my habi. Hadavar shein of mitkaven is asur. Leolam Rabbi Yehuda, the meaning of yuvachli mitkaven latsud is shalo ye asena ke mitzudah, meaning the lishvek lo ravacha ki hech lo mitzudu. You want to make sure the beast can escape. Ravash Yama never said anything about winter, summer, darling. Mika tani b'yamata chamay b'yamata kishamim. It says bechama b'dei chama b'kshamim b'nei akshamim katani, which means b'yamanis b'yamatishe. Vika chama, vika gishamim, vika dvash. Omlu Rav Sheshes, that's what they call yerach dvash. Yerach dvash is Nisan, or the tishrei. We always have dvash. Omlu Rav Sheshes. Poku v'imru leil Rav Yitzchak, ah! Kvar tirgama rabbeinu l'shmaita t'cha b'bavel. The Yom Rav Hanau, see mechitza l'meit b'shvil chai, v'enu see mechitza l'meit b'shvil meit. Why not? Because ain lo klin kli, elo l'tzor, davar nital. Ha! Ma'i. Da'ar Rav Shubar Yudav, v'chein tana shi l'more, meit ha'muta b'chama, v'im shnei b'nei adam, v'yoshvim b'tzidor, cham lahem milamata, ze mevi mita v'yoshev aleha, v'ze mevi mita v'yoshev aleha, cham lahem milamala, mevi machatzelet, u'porsin aleihem. Zezoket mita dominishmat valechlo, zezoket mita dominishmat valechlo, and voila, nimtzed mefitzasi ameleha, itma. Meta motal bechama, Rabbi Yerome Shmuel, hofchomi mita lamita, Rabbi Chanina Barshami, and Mishmeh Rav Amar, meniach alot tikar otinok, ομετάβλος, έγρι πηκτικάω τον πλήγαμε λοπλήγησαι. Κι πλήγε το λέτλαν. Μπαρσαβα, τίλτο με να τσάτσιμε τι τούλεν εις άσο, ου μάρσαβα λάσιμα τι τούλεν εις μούτα. Λέμε και τα νόη, εμ ατσιλίνα τα μέτρη πνέα δεκά, ου ερεβίρα πελόκησε σωμάτι σωμα ατσιλίνα τα μέτρη πνέα δεκά. So now I ask you, έχει δόμη, αμήνει και τίνο τι said, everybody knows it's a mutter, so my time in the Tanakama. And he deleka, my time the Rabbi Melakish. Elalab, betiltu menatzat pligi. Marsava tiltu menatzat shmi tiltu. And therefore, there's nothing to do. You have to let the body burn. Umarsava lo shmi tiltu. La, la, la. Kulayama the two menatzat might be us, or shmi tiltu. Any time in Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is that the chalal, there's no issue of carrying a mate out of a burning house. The mito shadam bo hulal mito. Ilo sharitelei atilechuyei. Omri Yehuda ben Shilam Ravasi Rav Yochanan halacha Rav Yehuda ben Lakish when it comes to a mate. Eino etin amin abishen amin amuchan ten rabbonim. Motar Hashemin shebener v'shebekara asur, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutar.